Ladies and gentlemen, please stand by. Good day and welcome to the Veterans for New Americans Dreamers press call. Today's call is being recorded. And now at this time, I'd like to turn the conference over to Ali Noorani, Executive Director of the National Immigration Forum. Please go ahead, sir.
Great. Well, thank you very much. I want to thank folks for joining this morning. My name is Ali Noorani. I'm the Executive Director of the National Immigration Forum, and we're thrilled to partner today with Veterans for New Americans on this very important conversation. In September, the Trump administration announced an end to the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals Program, or DACA. A significant number of young people are already at risk of deportation as they've lost their protections from the program, and that number will jump sharply after March 5th unless Congress passes a permanent legislative solution. At the same time, the U.S. Armed Forces face serious recruitment challenges, and yet our immigration laws bar nearly all Dreamers who would be willing and able to serve. Today, Veterans for New Americans is sending a letter to House Speaker Paul Ryan, as well as Senate Leader Mitch McConnell, that emphasizes the urgency from a military and security perspective of a need for a solution. In order for the U.S. military to recruit successfully, it must have access to the largest potential pool of qualified candidates. Future net growth in the U.S. population of 18 to 29-year-olds, the segment of the population most likely to enlist, will come entirely from immigrants and children of immigrants. Therefore, immigrants will play an increasingly vital role in the military's ability to sustain an all-volunteer force. They will be an important segment of available military recruits, not just because of their numbers, but because they also possess critical skills in demand by our nation's military. Dreamers are one theme in a paper the Forum and Veterans for New Americans released last month. That report, For Love of Country, New Americans Serving in Our Armed Forces, addressed the military's challenges and offers policy recommendations and solutions. So we're fortunate to have on the call today three military veterans to speak about the urgency of a solution for Dreamers. Our speakers are Rear Admiral Jim Partington of Nebraska. He is a Veterans for New Americans National Co-Chair and is a veteran of the U.S. Navy. Joining Rear Admiral Partington is Lieutenant Colonel Margaret Stock of Alaska, also a Veterans for New Americans National Co-Chair and a veteran of the U.S. Army Reserve. And then finally, Major General Alfred Valenzuela of Texas is a veteran of the U.S. Army. Before I turn it over to Admiral Partington, Rear Admiral Partington, I also just want to thank all three of you for your service and the service of all the members of Veterans for New Americans. With that, let me turn to our first speaker, Admiral Partington. Go ahead, Jim.
Thank you, Ollie. In our Veterans for New Americans letter today, we asked Speaker Ryan and Leader McConnell to support a permanent legislative solution for deferred action for childhood arrivals, DACA recipients before the holiday restart. As we note in the letter, our all-volunteer military is facing a serious recruitment challenge. The Center for Naval Analysis estimated in 2015 that only 13% of our 17 to 24-year-olds in the United States are qualified and available to serve in the military. At the same time, tens of thousands of undocumented youth are willing to serve but are barred from doing so. If Congress were to pass legislation to legalize their status, the military would benefit from the addition of tens of thousands of high-quality recruits. Immigrants have a long history of contributions to our military. They continue to be essential to our military and reserves. And I can attest to the quality of this DACA youth because we've been active in Nebraska in trying to influence our congressional legislation or a congressional delegation to pass this legislation. And we've been taking the representatives from this cohort around to meet these members of our delegation. And they are across the board a very impressive group of folks and certainly the types of citizens that we want to keep in the United States. So it was just as a matter of the benefit of the United States of America and the justice of meeting the legitimate requirements to pass legislation for these folks to stay in the United States is one of the number one priorities for our Nebraska Coalition for Immigration Reform. Thank you for the opportunity to join you for this phone call.
Thank you so much, Jim. I really, really appreciate not just joining us today, but for everything you've done. You've been a great partner for a long time, so thank you. Next speaking is Lieutenant Colonel Margaret Stock, Veterans for New Americans National Co-Chair and a veteran of the U.S. Army Reserve. Margaret?
Thank you very much for the opportunity to speak today. I work a lot with military recruiters. The current administration is trying to increase the size of the all-volunteer force, and yet we're in a very difficult recruiting environment right now. In fact, the Army Reserve missed its recruiting goals by about 1,000 soldiers in the fiscal year that ended on September 30th, 2017. Immigrants are extremely important for military recruiting, and there are three reasons for that, identified by the Center for Naval Analyses in a prior report. First reason, sheer numbers. About 1.2 million recruitable non-citizens in the desired age range live in the U.S. Second reason, immigrants possess skills critically needed in the armed forces, including language skills. And third, non-citizen recruits have far lower attrition rates and are much less likely to leave the military early in their service, which saves the taxpayers a lot of money, an enormous amount of money. Military force readiness and the recruiting challenge are major issues today at the Pentagon. There's simply not enough qualified young people who are willing and able to serve to meet military recruiting goals if we exclude immigrants from being recruited. The United States has always recruited immigrants, and it's only been recently that we have barred them from enlistment and in wartime. Previously, in all of our prior wars, the nation would have recruited people like the Dreamers for the U.S. military. It doesn't make sense to deport U.S.-educated young people so that they can serve in foreign militaries. We should let them serve in our own military. Recently, the Obama administration a few years ago allowed some Dreamers, the recipients of Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, to enlist in the United States Armed Forces. About 900 of them were permitted to sign up. And the experience we've had with them has been very good. They're exceptional soldiers. They're doing a great job. Approximately 300 of them, however, are in jeopardy of deportation because they have not been able to complete the DOD-mandated background checks that are required of them. If Congress allows the DACA program to expire and doesn't enact legislation, then these 300 young people who are currently serving in our military will face potential deportation because they're required to maintain their DACA status as a condition of heading off on active duty. Their status is possibly going to expire next year, and if it expires, they'll be discharged from the military and the United States government will lose the benefit of their service. I hope that won't happen, and that's why I support a legislative solution for the problem of these young people who grew up in the United States. We should allow them to serve the country that they consider to be their home. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Margaret. I also, just to forecast a question for you, I know you were in D.C. about a month ago meeting with members, so as we get to questions, I would love your sense of, what's your sense, how members of Congress are reacting to this particular need. But before we get there, let me introduce Major General Alfred Valenzuela. Alfred Valenzuela, a U.S. Army veteran. Major General, thank you so much for joining us.
Sure, thank you. Let me just echo some of the comments that have been mentioned thus far. Obviously, I have served 33 years in the United States Army on active duty. And since 1776, as was mentioned, we've had immigrants in our great military. And in the Army, specifically during War and Peace, we have been blessed to have these folks contribute to this great nation. It's pretty tough fighting for your country, much less fighting for your adopted country, which is where this plays a tremendous role. These folks have done anything and everything that we've asked. They come on active duty, and they've done and filled their commitment extremely well. It would behoove us to have Congress approve this venue, because it's important to keep those folks, particularly with specific skill sets that are so needed in today's United States military. The DACA folks could be the force multiplier that's needed. We do live in a world of decadence and in a volatile situation. We have a lot of deployments, and I think, having seen these folks perform, their little attrition rate, we're looking at the best and the brightest, which is exactly what we need to go forward. So I support the endeavor. We need Congress to commit themselves and to approve and get the DACA issue resolved. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Effort. Thank you. But really appreciate that. Jake, could we just provide the instructions for questions, please, and then I'll turn it back to Margaret for her sense of kind of the how members of Congress are reacting. But can we just provide those instructions, please?
Of course. If you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you're using a speakerphone, please make sure the mute function is released to allow that signal to reach our equipment. Please limit yourself to one question. If you do have additional questions, you may re-enter the queue at any time. Once again, for questions today, star 1. We will pause for just a moment.
While we're pausing, Margaret, can I turn it back to you just in terms of reflecting a little bit on your trip to D.C. about a month ago?
Sure. I found widespread support for the idea that these young people should be allowed to serve in their military. I think members of Congress recognize the value of the contribution that they could make, and they also recognize the history of immigrants in our armed forces. We always, in prior wars, allowed immigrants to serve in the military regardless of their immigration status, and some of our most notable war heroes have been immigrants. Al Rascone, who was formerly an undocumented immigrant from Mexico, was drafted into the U.S. Army during the Vietnam War. He won the Congressional Medal of Honor. And ironically, after he got his U.S. citizenship through military service, they put him in charge of the draft. He was the head of selective service. But there's a long history of immigrants serving in the military, and I think members of Congress know that. Many members of Congress who served in the military have served side by side with immigrants and are well aware of their contributions. So I think there's widespread support and a recognition that these folks are very talented and they could contribute to the United States and to our national security if we just let them do that. It doesn't make any sense to deport them so some other country can benefit from their talents.
Thank you, Margaret. Are there any questions, operator?
We do have a question. Nick Policy with PJ Media News. Go ahead, please.
Thank you for taking the question. So a report in September said that the Pentagon estimates 900 undocumented immigrants who are Dreamers would not be able to serve in the military if DACA was rescinded and there's no legislative action to come up with a fix. So my question is, do you think Congress should act on the military component of DACA if disagreement remains among members regarding an overall package? Should they just act on the military component and come up with a fix for that? Thank you.
Thank you. Margaret, can I turn to you on that one?
Sure. I think they should act to fix the problems of the ones who are already in the military. Just to clarify, though, the Obama administration did not allow, they severely limited DACAs. There were thousands of them that wanted to join the military when the DACA program started. But the Obama administration said they wouldn't allow them to come in unless they could qualify for the MAVNI program, Military Accession Vital to the National Interest. And very few DACAs can meet the strict requirements or could meet the strict requirements of the MAVNI program. About 900 of them did meet the requirements of MAVNI. And of those, only about 300 are in jeopardy right now. So there's 900 who are allowed to sign enlistment contracts, but many of those folks got in before the recent change in policy, and they got their citizenship. So they're now American citizens serving in the military. I was telling General Valenzuela about one young man who's an Army Ranger now who came in and got his citizenship through military service, and he's now a U.S. citizen. So he's not in danger of being deported. But there's about 300 who have signed enlistment contracts. They've committed themselves to the U.S. military. They haven't been able to go on active duty yet because they're waiting for DOD-mandated background checks that take 2 or 3 years to complete, and they're required to maintain their status until those background checks are completed and they can go on active duty. And unfortunately, because of the new change in policy, they're going to lose their DACA status before the background checks get completed. I would love to see a legislative fix for that because these are people that they've already recruited, so that the taxpayers spent tens of thousands of dollars bringing these people on board already, and now to lose them doesn't make any sense, and deporting them makes even less sense. So I think there could be a separate solution for that, but of course it would benefit the United States much more if we allowed a solution for all of the folks with those characteristics and not just the tiny number that managed to squeeze through under the Obama administration exception. So I'd like to see a global solution for the hundreds of thousands who are out there. The military would benefit a lot more if it could bring in more than 300, but bring in, you know, thousands and thousands of them rather than just the tiny number that got through under the Obama administration.
Thank you, Margaret. Jim, or is there any other question? Is there another question queued up?
There is no questions at this time. Once again, the star one, if you did have a question, we'll pause for another moment.
Jim, if I could pop a question your way. In your experience, when you're serving, but then also as you're talking to young people in Nebraska, you know, how do you see immigrants articulating their, their desire to serve the country, and as a result, achieve their own version of the American dream? Just give me an opportunity to kind of share your experiences a little bit, if you will.
Well, down through history, actually, and including what is becoming ancient history, my experience in the Vietnam War, immigrants have always been eligible for the draft, and we felt free to draft them whenever we needed them to serve, and they've served with distinction. I think that still holds. I think they're still eligible for the draft. That Lieutenant Colonel Stock might be able to amplify on that. So just as a matter of simple justice, if you're going to have them out there eligible to be drafted and serve in combat when we need them, they should also be entitled to serve voluntarily, enlist, and become career military officers and enlisted people. The record of service is clearly outstanding, and as I mentioned earlier, the quality of these DACA youth that we meet daily here in trying to support their legislation to legalize their status, they're just a truly impressive group and would be very valuable to the military in the future and make a great contribution.
This is Margaret Stocker. The Admiral is correct. The irony of this debate is that all of these young people who are males anyway are required to register for the draft. And if we had a draft, we would draft them. But we bar them from enlisting voluntarily. And, of course, we don't have a draft today. We have an all-volunteer force. But they're still required to register for the draft. Many of them are hoping for a draft because they would like to serve. But we don't have a draft. I'm not in favor of a draft. I think the all-volunteer force is great. But it is ironic that people who are required to register for the draft are barred from enlisting voluntarily. That doesn't make any sense, and I really wish Congress would fix that.
Thank you. And then last question, and the question for Major General Valenzuela. In your experience, similar question to what I asked the Admiral is, can your experience serving with immigrants, your experience as you are talking to young people these days, how do you see this playing out really for the dreams and aspirations of immigrants that you have come to know and who desire to serve our nation?
Well, again, you go back to 1776, and for 242 years, we've never turned an immigrant down to serve our country. A lot of the immigrants would love to participate today. Most do by virtue, by way of a green card. If you look at the form and where it's intended, from a DACA perspective, very little difference from the perspective that we have a specialized skill set of folks who would continue to serve this country fantastically. But again, over the years, through every war, our immigrants have signed up and or have been drafted and have served their country. I don't think it's any different today. If they could line up and do it, they would do it. So I think what we have to understand is that the military component of the immigration reform piece needs to be really focused and not necessarily set aside. But because we live in some tough times, because we've been at war in a number of different countries for so long, these folks have picked up the slack to a larger extent since we don't have a draft and have served this country well. So what the National Forum is doing in helping us petition Congress to approve, from a DACA perspective, the legislative piece to assist them and bring them and allow them to stay, so that we, again, can take advantage of their experience and not share it with other countries as well.
Thank you very, very much. I really want to thank Major General Alfred Valenzuela, Lieutenant Colonel Margaret Stock, Veterans for New Americans National Co-Chair, and Rear Admiral Jim Partington, also Veterans for New Americans National Co-Chair. The letter that the speakers referenced will be released at the top of the hour and is being sent to Speaker Ryan as well as Leader McConnell, urging them to move forward with a legislative solution for Dreamers this calendar year. Please do get in contact if you'd like to speak with any of the guests, and I really appreciate everybody joining us this morning. Thank you.
And once again, ladies and gentlemen, this will conclude your conference for today. Thank you for your participation, and you may now disconnect.